1998's Good Friday Agreement brokered a sometimes tenuous peace between Protestants and Catholics in Northern Ireland. The agreement was signed in Belfast, where some of the most intense fighting took place. Youth Radio's Pendarvis Harshaw visited a Belfast neighborhood that was once the seat of power for paramilitary groups. He wanted to find out what the decade-old peace agreement has meant for the city's youth.
Inside a Belfast classroom, a group of girls giggles and paints pictures of American celebrities. It feels like a teenager's bedroom.
I want to be a lawyer when I grow up, and I want to go to Harvard University.
I just want to be a pop star.
This working-class part of Belfast has the same problems as any inner city: a high rate of teen pregnancy, and young people at the risk of drug abuse. The classroom windows are covered by bomb-proof bars. They're left over from the constant violence in this area only 10 years ago, Catholic-Protestant violence, known as the Troubles. Murals are painted on almost every corner building. The murals show war heroes and battle slogans, telling the story of why West Belfast is divided by what's called the Peace Wall.
It took really long to build it, and it would take really long to knock it down because it's really, really big and really, really long.
That's Lee Hutchinson. She's 11 years old. She goes to the Clubhouse Community Center in Belfast. It has two branches open for kids here, one on the Catholic side of the Peace Wall and one on the Protestant side. That's where Lee lives.
There's a Peace Wall, and there shouldn't really be one, because even though it does help separate the Catholics and Protestants and stopping them from fighting, no other place really has one, so it's a bit not normal.
There are gates on both ends of the Peace Wall, which stretches for about a kilometer. At night, the two neighborhoods lock the gates to prevent violence. Just 2 years ago, there were riots every night in West Belfast. Catholics and Protestants hurled homemade explosives back and forth over the 20-foot barbed wire wall. In the wealthy neighborhoods of Belfast, the troubles seem more like an historical tale. Now there's a busy new mall downtown and a giant Ferris wheel next to City Hall, and there are a number of integrated schools. However, here in West Belfast, the past is still alive. The children are living in a community where the troubles influence their thinking, even to this day.
My daddy used to be in the army, and he talks constantly about it.
That's Lee Hutchinson's twin sister, Laura.
He just thinks that he's the greatest because he was in the army, and he just likes talking. He likes to hear the sound of his own voice.
Laura might think her dad talks a lot, but he did send her to a center that promotes reconciliation in the very same neighborhood where he once rioted. That says more about Laura's father than she might realize. There are people in this Protestant neighborhood who hope for complete reconciliation, like Elizabeth Donaldson. She's from the Protestant Shankill area. Now she works with young people at the Clubhouse. Donaldson says even though there aren't many jobs in the area, the majority of kids in West and North Belfast will try to work close to home and aren't likely to go to college.
The funny thing is, there are some of the young people that feel that, you know, the other side is aliens to them, and, you know, they're so far removed from them, but in proximity, they're very close, and interests are very close, and in a lot of ways they're very close, and it's only when they get together that they realise that they're not two-headed monsters and that they're actually very similar to each other.
We also met young people on the Catholic side of the Peace Wall, like Stephen. He's 14. Stephen says most of what he knows about the Troubles comes from YouTube, but he says what he knows about more recent violence comes from his older brother.
He would, like, stick up for Catholic religion or something. Something stupid. I haven't heard of any riots for about 2 years, so it's sort of starting to calm down.
Both groups still remember the Troubles and the history that the ground they stand on represents. The story of this small city in Northern Ireland goes deeper than the buildings covered with murals. But that was obvious when we pulled into town. Our guide stopped at a red light and pointed out a fully armored Range Rover. He said 10 years ago, this was the only kind of police car in the city. We only saw one bulletproof SUV our entire trip. For NPR News, I'm Pendarvis Harshaw.
Pendarvis Harshaw's story was produced by Youth Radio with Ireland's Ardmore Sound.